Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in, Winning Cures Everything. It is the Wednesday, December 8th edition of the show. I'm your host, Gary Seegers, riding solo for today's adventure. Of course, lots of NFL stuff to discuss. There is a whole lot going on in the world of college football. I'm going to try and discuss as much of it as I can. Not sure what the deal is on Chris showing up. I believe he will be here for the Friday show. We will figure that out as we get there. But for now, I've got NFL picks. I got thoughts on what is going on in college football, etc. Let me go ahead and give you guys the rundown first. WinningCuresEverything.com is the website. Everything you need to know about us, everywhere to subscribe, everywhere to follow on social media, etc., is going to be right there. So go ahead and check that out, WinningCuresEverything.com. The show is brought to you each and every time out by BetUS, America's top premier online sportsbook. You can find them over at BetUS.com. There is a link in the description. You can click that bad boy, and it will take you where you need to go. BetUS is where the game begins. I host the BetUS College Football Show. Chris is on the Bookmaker Review College Football Show. You need to check out both of them, and the links are in the description for those. So go ahead and tackle those while you're down there as well. And of course, all of you that are joining this morning, if you would so kindly, please do us a favor and like that video, subscribe to the channel. We hit our goal. We hit 5,000. We certainly appreciate you guys for being a part of that. And share it out. Tell your friends. Of course, we want to keep this thing growing. We hit one goal. Now we have many, many more to go as we continue on this adventure of basically taking over the sports world with Winning Cures Everything. We've been doing this show for a long time. We have a lot of fun with it. This is not our day job. This is not whatever, but we do have a lot of fun doing it, and hopefully one day it could turn into the day job. So you can be a part of helping us out with that. We don't do Patreon. We don't do whatever. We just do this for free. We come on here and we knock this thing out, and we have fun with it. So share it out. Tell your friends about it. Make sure you are subscribed and like the video. Jump into the chat if you would like as well. Gonna go on and start off today's show with maybe the biggest hiring announcement of this entire cycle. And I think you guys, y'all will probably be surprised with the one that I chose here. But the biggest hiring of this entire coaching carousel in college football might be Frank Harris leaving McNeese State to come back to LSU as the associate head coach and the recruiting coordinator. Frank Harris was vital for Les Miles in that bunch. He knows Louisiana like almost no other. He was the head coach at UTSA. He built that roster that Jeff Traylor is now taking to new heights over in San Antonio. He may not be a great head coach, but he is a great recruiter, and he is great for LSU. He was awesome there before. I have no doubts that he will be awesome again. He left a head coaching position at McNeese to come back to Brian Kelly's staff. I cannot overestimate how important this hire was for Brian Kelly to get right. He needs help getting into those homes down in Louisiana. And now, obviously, you're always going to be able to get into homes as the coach at LSU, and there are other guys that do understand the landscape, but none of them have the connections that Frank Harris does. Everybody down there knows Frank Harris. This is a monster hire. It doesn't get any bigger than this. It really doesn't. So kudos to Brian Kelly for at least listening to the people that told him, hey, you really need to take a run at this. And I'm sure they are paying him a pretty penny. It is not often that you leave a head coaching position, even if it is at a lower level, to come back and be an associate head coach slash recruiting coordinator. But it is at LSU, and it is a place that Frank Harris has been, and he knows and he understands that landscape. Like I said, he is going to kill it there. It's going to be awesome. I cannot wait to see what they end up doing, but this is maybe the most important hire that Brian Kelly will make. It's more important than the coordinators, any of that. You got to have the Jimmys and Joes first, and this is the guy that's going to bring the Jimmys and Joes back to LSU. Obviously, Ed Orgeron was doing a fine job of doing that, but Brian Kelly, coming from Notre Dame, not really knowing anybody down there, you're going to have that connection. Frank Harris is that connection. The next topic on the board, this is the one that I'm sure that you guys thought I might have been talking about, but that would be Mario Cristobal heading back to Miami. Now, we talked about this some on the Sunday reaction show, but it was announced, of course, officially, I believe on Monday, and then on Tuesday, they announced Cristobal, let him come out and have a press conference and whatnot. The president at Miami introduced him because they do not have their athletic director hired done, but that's the way that they want this done, right? They wanted the coach in place first, and then they're going to bring in their AD. And the AD, I believe, is going to be Dan Radakovich, who is the guy at Clemson right now. And if they get him, that is an absolute home run hire. But the stories that have come out about this from The Athletic have been absolutely hilarious. Miami has never been willing to spend like this for their football program. They just haven't. They've never needed to. And they have not been able to keep up with the current landscape of college football, which does crack me up a little bit because they never felt the need to be a part of that. This is a private institution. They do things their way. It is what it is. Well, now they have decided that they want to get back involved. And part of this is because, as The Athletic has reported, the UM health system during the pandemic profited, I believe it said, $400 million in the last year, which is kind of crazy to think about. And they are taking a large chunk of that. They're paying out the $8 million for Manny Diaz. They're paying out Cristobal $9 million to get out of his deal at Oregon, and they're paying Manny 10 years, $8 million a year guaranteed. That is $80 million guaranteed right there, and they're going to do all the different things that it takes in order to build a winner at Miami. This is monster. Like, if Miami is willing to be a big boy and actually show up and actually put the resources required into building a big-time football power, they can do that. They can be a football power because a lot of this talent that leaves down there ends up going to Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State, et cetera, right? This is the perfect hire at the perfect time for Miami. Now, with the way that this was all done, if you look at typical board of trustees, I was listening to Stephen Godfrey talk about this. Normal board of trustees, you maybe got 10, 12, at most, maybe 15 Board of Trustees members at certain big-time football programs. At Miami, I mean, they got like 60 guys that are considered part of their Board of Trustees. It is insane. They got boosters all over the place, all this different stuff. But what they had in this situation was they had like two or three big-time guys that were really making the hire and were letting everybody else feel like they were a part of it, but it was really run by just a couple of guys. And I think that that's the smart way to go about it, right? All of you guys over here talk about this, I'm going to get the real meat and bones done here, right? And that makes perfect sense. You can talk all you want to about Cristobal's overrated, this and that. I will tell you what he is not overrated as, and that is a program builder. And he is also not overrated as a recruiter. What he was able to do at Oregon on a national level was almost ridiculous. And you can say it was Nike, you can say it was whatever, but are you really going to be able to get those kind of athletes come up to Eugene, Oregon without having a guy that they can really connect to that they really believe in? I don't think so. I really don't think so. They have got top flight NFL guys at Oregon right now because of Cristobal. If he could recruit every hour of every day, he would, because he understands that is the lifeblood of the of a program, and that's what you need at Miami right now. You need somebody that's going to be recruiting those guys that are in state. You can drive an hour and find an entire roster full of guys that are capable of playing at a high level for you, just right down there in South Dade County. I mean, it's ridiculous what they can get done. Now, that's not going to keep Alabama and Ohio State and Georgia and whoever else away from down there, but you can switch a few of them here and there. And I think that this is going to be a big-time thing. Now, you don't have to be X's and O's. You don't have to be whatever. He is going to have to hire some big-time coordinators to make sure that they get this thing right. But as far as building the foundation again, because that foundation has been fractured and ruined for a long, long time, they got the right guy to be able to come in and clean it up, right? Mark Richt is one thing. This guy is something else. Mark Richt is build the foundation, get the culture right, all that kind of stuff. But it's not build a championship football program. That's not what Mark Richt does, at least not anymore. He did it initially at Georgia, but there's a difference between what Mark Richt does and what guys like Kirby Smart and Mario Cristobal do. This is massive for Miami. So I would imagine that they will get the AD that they want because they're going to pay out the wazoo for it. And I will be curious to see what's going to happen. We did have some other interesting news that broke on Tuesday, and this was strange to me. Very, very strange. Pitt's offensive coordinator, Mark Whipple, decided to resign as the offensive coordinator before the bowl game. He's not even going to coach in the New Year's Six game that they're playing. I believe they're in the Fiesta Bowl or Orange Bowl. I don't remember which one. But either way, it's weird. They're playing Michigan State. This is a strange situation. Now, what this leads to basically is, okay, is Kenny Pickett going to play in the bowl game? Because Kenny Pickett did say last year when he decided to return for this season that he had put all of his trust into Mark Whipple. He said if Mark Whipple had told him to go ahead and leave, that it would be best for him to go ahead and leave, whether that is to transfer or to try his hand at the NFL or whatever after last season, then he was going to do that. He was going to do whatever Mark Whipple told him to do. Well, now Whipple is gone, and I was caught off guard by this. Doing it right before the bowl. Normally you would hear his name attached somewhere else, or this is a guy that was just tired and done and didn't want to do it anymore. You would normally hear something along those lines, and I never heard a word about this. Now, I did have somebody that tweeted about it that said that Mark Whipple, or that Pat Narduzzi, the head coach at Pitt, was getting irritated about Whipple interviewing for other jobs or whatever, and he just told Whipple to leave. I find that hard to believe, because why would Whipple resign rather than just be fired and collect his buy? Like, I don't understand what's going on here, but this is a little bit shocking, and it does lead to that question about Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett, a Heisman finalist, is he going to actually play in the bowl game? And so we'll have to see what happens with that, especially as far as gambling on the game and all that good stuff. I mean, there's a lot to dissect with that. Whipple's older. I mean, he's already been a head coach at UMass. He was fairly successful at UMass. It kind of went downhill towards the end there, but he did have some success that you normally do not see at a really lower level FBS football program. And, you know, obviously you could see why. You could see why. The next thing that I want to hit on with college football is Colorado State has hired Jay Norvell. Now, that is Nevada's head coach, and people were a little bit shocked by this. And if you don't know the ins and outs of the Mountain West Conference, I could totally understand that, right? Chris and I talked about this on the reaction show, I believe, or it may have been last Friday, but it's at some point we talked about this, because Colorado State fired Steve Adazio, and I told him Colorado State has everything in place to be a monster on the G5 level. They have all of the investment that you could possibly need. They have just made some really bad hires. If you can ever get out of that string of making bad hires, if you would ever get out of that string of letting the wrong guys pick and choose how the program is run, then you can be a monster, an absolute monster. In Colorado State over in Fort Collins, they have everything in place to be able to do that. So Jay Norvell understood that at Nevada, he was never going to be able to accomplish what he needed to. He was never going to be able to accomplish what he wanted to at Nevada, because they do not invest in the program in the same way that Colorado State does, that other programs in the Mountain West do. And what he's actually been able to do at Nevada has been incredibly impressive. So if you've got a guy that can do more with less resources, the idea here is, well, if he already knows the landscape of the Mountain West, what could he do if we gave him significantly more? What Norvell was making at Nevada was around $600,000 a year. What he is making now is, his new contract is 5 years, $9 million. That's more than double. Not bad. That's not bad at all. Like, I think what he's doing is smart. Very, very smart, because he knows he can build a winner at Colorado State. And if you build a winner at Colorado State, you can compete for big-time stuff. Big-time stuff. So this is the next step on the ladder. Yes, even in certain conferences, you do realize that there are levels to this. It's much the same way as the SEC. You understand that Kentucky, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, etc., like these, and that's no offense to any of those, but all of those different ones are not at the same level as Georgia, Alabama, LSU, etc., right? Those programs cannot hire from the same pool as these programs. It's just a different level. And that's exactly what you've got going on here. Everybody understands that Colorado State can be a monster in the Mountain West if they get all their ducks in a row. It appears that they likely have. So let me go ahead and bring Chris in here, and we'll get this thing rolling.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we've got Chris back in with us. All right, so Chris, I've talked about Frank Wilson joining the LSU staff. I've talked about Mario Cristobal. I talked about Mark Whipple retiring as Pitt's offensive coordinator and what that's going to mean for Kenny Pickett going into the bowl game. And also talked about Colorado State hiring, Jay Norvell. So the next topic that I want to hit on before we jump into the NFL stuff is the Heisman finalists were announced the other night, and it's tough for me to get super excited about some of these, but I some of the stuff I just do not understand. There were three names that were left off of this that I was just a little bit shocked about, that at least one of them did not make this, right? Let me go on and read off the Heisman finalists, and then I want you to tell me your opinion on who you think should have been there. Number one here is Bryce Young, quarterback at Alabama. C.J. Stroud, quarterback at Ohio State. Aiden Hutchinson, the defensive end from Michigan. And Kenny Pickett, the quarterback from Pitt. Now, all of those guys have had fantastic seasons. But do we believe that... Never mind. Let me get your opinion. Who do you think should have been on there instead of some of these other guys? How's that?
I think Matt Corral should have definitely been on there. I don't think it's close, by the way. People are going to look at his numbers, but they're not going to look. This is the problem with the Heisman votes, by the way, is they justify it with numbers, but they obviously haven't watched games of everybody in the country. They're just watching the big teams. That's it. Because his numbers dropped off considerably the second half of the season, but he played that entire second half hurt. He never quit. He never stopped. Should get absolute credit for that. And he also played without all of the skill players and many, many, many of his offensive linemen who were also hurt. He made up just so much of the offense that Ole Miss did. He made up all of their success by himself. Without him, I don't think they make a bowl game. And I think we have seen, if you don't have Bryce Young, any quarterback in Alabama's class, they might not have made the playoffs, but there wouldn't have been a big drop off.
Yeah, I don't think that they would have been they wouldn't have made the playoff. But I do think that they would have still been successful. Whereas at Ole Miss, I don't know that you get near this level of success without Matt Corral.
They won 10 games, okay? And
which has never been done at Ole Miss in a regular season.
At Ole Miss. It's the first time ever. That's a huge deal for them. And I don't think that they win 5 games without him.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. The other name that I had written, well, I've got two other ones. We'll toss in Will Anderson. I would have put him in over Aiden Hutchinson. The stats are different, but Will Anderson is an absolute monster. The fact that he was not on here, but I think a part of that has to do with the fact that Bryce Young made the list instead. So
that's
some
it.
Of those votes got split.
You can't have two guys from Alabama last year and two guys from Alabama this year and expect to win it. Like, you're just not going to do that. That's not how this thing works.
Now, the other one was Kenneth Walker III from Michigan State. Again, this is a guy that transferred in and was an absolute monster for them. He is a large reason why because that defense is pretty terrible. I mean, it's at least the passing defense. Obviously, they are a gritty football team, but Kenneth Walker seemed like the heart and soul of that football team, and the numbers that he put up are a big reason why they won 10 games in the regular season. This is a team that the over-under for the season of season win totals was 4.5. And they won 10 ball games, and a lot of it was because of him. And just to toss out the Ohio State game out there, I mean, what are we talking about, having C.J. Stroud in here over a guy like that?
No, C.J. doesn't belong at all. I mean, at all. And I know that there are going to be people in here that are Ohio State fans that think we're just taking shots or whatever, but he just – which one of these doesn't look like the other, all right?
I don't think there's a single Ohio State fan, by the way, that would agree – or that would disagree that C.J. Stroud is not even maybe the third best player on that offense. Like, he may not be the fourth best.
I don't know. I don't think he is. But also, you know, I'm not in that locker room. So
yeah. I mean, that is true. C.J. Stroud is a good quarterback. I do not believe that he is at the same level as Kenneth Walker or Matt Corral, and obviously different positions, all that good stuff. I get it. Different systems as well. And that's not just to completely crap on C.J. Stroud. Like, Aiden Hutchinson jumping in this, it's tough for a defensive end to get in. I understand that. And he had, 14 sacks on the season, all that good stuff. But if you look, he had a ton of that at the very end. Like,
we usually have a defensive guy every year that gets in there. So that doesn't concern me or bother me.
Yeah.
So
it was a little surprising. What about Kenny Pickett being on this list?
I'm okay with it. I think his numbers just fine, and he's got the same argument that Matt Corral has.
Yeah.
Okay. I think without him, that team is not close to being good.
He did a good Joe Burrow impression this year. Because he was not great for his first, 6, 7, 8 years that he's been on campus, or however he's been there for a really long time. Came back, I believe this was his 6th season. He came back because he was a COVID senior, and he just exploded. I mean, he had never had a season even comparable that would have led you to believe that this was even possible. And yet here he is. So yeah, I like Kenny Pickett being in there. It's perfectly fine. But man, it kind of lets me know that when you look at the Heisman voting breakdown, there are guys that used to be, like, they do not take anybody's vote away. So there are guys that do not even cover the sport anymore that still have Heisman votes. Like, it's people that are so far removed from watching the sport of football, or at least the sport of college football, that they they just don't know what's actually happening in this game, and that's why you've got guys like Matt Corral and Kenneth Walker III and whatnot that don't get a shot. That's why you're going to have.
Well, that's why I see this Stroud's there. Is because, oh, well, he's the Ohio State quarterback, and Ohio State was really good this year, so he's got to be there, right?
Yeah.
Like, these are obviously, clearly people that do not watch the sport.
Yes, and that's what annoys me about it. That is what annoys me. Let's not worry with a recap from last week. Last week was a little bit weird. Let's dive into some games that are happening this week, and we'll go ahead and start this thing off. You ready to rock and roll through the previews?
Yeah.
Let's do it. NFL Week 14, and brother, I went 4-4 last week. You went 3-5 against the number. I am 58-52 against the spread in our big game previews, and you are 41-60 thus far. Plenty of time left in the season. We are in week 14. I believe there's, 18 weeks this year? So we got some time here. We are doing 8 games today. So we'll start off on Thursday night football with the Pittsburgh Steelers heading to the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings are 3-point favorites. Odds, of course, brought to you by BetUS, where the game begins. The Vikings, 3-point favorites at home, total of 44.5. And Ben Roethlisberger has already come out and started complaining about how much he does not like Thursday night games, which would make sense because Roethlisberger is old. And he just had to get whipped up on by the Ravens on Sunday. I know that they won the game, but he took a little bit of a beating. And now he's got to turn around and play against that Vikings defense on Thursday, so not a lot of rest time for him, and I totally understand. I totally understand where he's coming from. But you look at this game, I don't know how the Steelers won last week, and I don't know how they're going to even compete this week. I think that they've got a little bit of an older roster, and all the numbers point to Minnesota here. Like, I am absolutely going to take the Vikings to cover the 3 at home. I think the line is short because it's the Steelers and the Vikings. If the Steelers had not won against the Ravens, I think this line would be maybe 5 or 6. I think that's the only thing that kept this thing close. What do you think about it?
Maybe. I also think, you know, it's really hard to get anybody to want to bet on the Vikings after losing the line.
Ah, that's true. That is true.
But I'm with you. I'm with you completely. I don't, you know, I'm just going to keep betting against the Steelers team. And, you know, it hasn't been like the greatest bet in the world. It's not like betting against the Chiefs. But, you know, I just don't trust them. I just don't. They're a one-trick pony. They can't run the football because everybody just stacks the box and stops Najee. And the only thing they can do is he's got a dump-off pass, you know, 4 yards out or closer. And that's all he can do.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that
their
Vikings
offense is so hamstrung.
Oh yeah,
it's just sad.
The Vikings are also, I mean, at home on a Thursday, that typically seems to help a little bit. No worries about traveling or any of that. So you know, I mean, we'll see what happens. But we are both going to ride the Vikings on that one. That'll move us into the Sunday noon slot, noon Central, and we're going to start off with the Ravens heading to your Cleveland Browns. Browns are a 2.5-point favorite right now, total of 42 on this one. And I cannot figure out this Browns team. I don't, but I also can't figure out the Ravens either. Like, both of them are incredibly confusing. The numbers would actually tell you that the Ravens are a worse team than the Browns. Total DVOA, as far as efficiency goes, total DVOA, Baltimore number 16, and the Browns number 14. But as far as variance goes, Cleveland number 29, which means they are they have insanely good games and insanely bad games. The Ravens play just about the same all the time. They're number 13 in variance, so it's middle of the pack, but you get the point. I'm going to take Baltimore here, because Baltimore has significantly better special teams. Would it surprise you anything that happens in this ball game?
No, I mean, we just saw this game literally 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, the Browns played the Ravens, then took a week off, and then they're going to play the Ravens again. And Baltimore killed Cleveland in that game. I mean, just murdered them.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen, back-to-back games. I think Cleveland's going to be better this time around. And divisional opponent, usually in this division, you know, it's basically safe to say that the home teams all the time. So that's what I would do. I would take Cleveland.
Okay. All right, so Browns minus 2.5 for you. That'll move us over to the Raiders at the Chiefs, and that is another 12 p.m. game and another divisional game. So this is, you know, the line is Chiefs minus 10, which I don't understand how they keep being these massive favorites. They did cover against the Broncos last week. The total is 48.5, so it's not some huge total here. I think it's supposed to be cold. I mean, obviously, we will see on that because there's still a long time between now and Sunday. But you look at these matchups here, and know the Raiders have not been great, but they have started to figure some things out after they kind of had their lull in the season. Raiders not great, but I think that they can compete enough with this Kansas City defense to be able to put some points on the board and keep this within 10. I mean, obviously, the Raiders have played the Chiefs pretty tough most seasons. So even with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs seemingly have figured things out, all that, they're on a win streak, I get it. I'm going to take the plus 10. Like, I'm going to take the Raiders here because I just don't trust this Chiefs team.
Yep, we're seeing things the same way. What's been interesting about this Chiefs run, as the Chiefs have looked a lot better lately, is they've done it defensively. Their offense has struggled to look great, and their defense has been very, very, very good. So that's an interesting tidbit that we haven't seen or normally gotten lately. And I think the Raiders can score. I think they can find a way to get on the board, and they can play. You're right. They play the Chiefs tough every year. They just do.
Yeah, earlier this season, I believe the Chiefs caught them like during that lull, right? And they kind of beat them up pretty good.
Well, but that was like the second week after they lost their coach. Like they lost Gruden, and they all kind of rallied around and played well for a little bit. But that doesn't last. At some point in time, you got to kind of reevaluate things and see who you are, and it took a little bit for them to kind of get out of that.
Well, yeah, because they also had all the off-field stuff that was a big-time issue, big distractions. Now that the distractions are out of the way, you know, they know who they got for the duration. I trust the Raiders to be able to at least keep this within the 10. It wouldn't surprise me if they win the game, but yeah, the biggest thing, I think they can keep it within 10 points. Moving on, we got another divisional game here, and this one, of course, in the AFC South, the Jaguars at the Titans, and the Titans are favored by 10 points here, total of 44 on this. I look at, again, this Titans team, for as good as the record was, obviously they've lost two in a row, they needed that bye week like nobody's business. I mean, they just had to have it because their guys were getting beat up, just absolutely beat up. Lost to the Texans, got whipped by the Patriots. Just not a good way to limp into the bye week. Now they come out rejuvenated. They got the Jaguars, who were coming off of an absolute beating at the hands of the Rams last week on the road. But, man, like, I think 10's too much here. This is a divisional game. Like, earlier in the year, I felt good about the Titans being able to cover on the Jags, and they did. But this is a different spot. I think the Jags are playing a little bit better. I know they got whipped last week. But this time you're going up against an opponent that you know, that you've already played once. I'm going to lean towards Jacksonville here because I still don't think that this Tennessee team is great, right? Their record's really good, but this is not just a dynamic, unbelievable football team. This isn't a team that we looked at the same way that you would look at the Chiefs when Patrick Mahomes like was really rolling, right? This is just a meat grinder of a football team, and I think the Jags are going to keep it within 10.
Man, I'm going back and forth on this one. When the Tennessee team shows up and they play well, they can kind of hang with everybody. But if you look at their losses, I mean, they've got losses to the Jets, and they've got losses to the Texans. So they can also get beat by anybody.
That is true. This is true.
So, you know, outside of the Patriots, they haven't lost a good team yet. Everybody they lose to is always crap. Well, that kind of fits into this mold. Man, I don't like betting against Vrabel, though, when I just think his team is so much better. Coming off a bye, I'll lay the 10. I don't think it's smart. I don't like it. But I think Vrabel's one of the best coaches in the NFL right now. I mean, I do. I think he's earned his way into that conversation.
I could see that. All right, so Titans minus 10 for you. Next up, we are moving to the 325 slate, and we're going 49ers at the Bengals. And the Bengals are favored by one. A total of 47.5. Of course, 49ers lost on the road at Seattle last week. Interesting. I mean, very interesting. I'm not certain. I will tell you this. My numbers say that the 49ers should actually be favored, so I'm going to take them here. I don't know how comfortable I am with that, because both of these teams just that you have no way of knowing when they're going to show up and when they're not. They are so volatile every single week for whatever reason. And so I'm going to roll 49ers because that is what I would least expect to have happen. But give me your thoughts on this.
Man, I struggle with this one as well. I would feel better about the Niners if I know Debo's going to play.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Therein lies the problem is I don't think we're going to know the answer to that until way closer to game time. If I had to guess, I'd probably guess the answer is no. So that kind of doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah. So, like when I look at this, like Cincinnati's offense, as far as efficiency goes, they're number 23 in DVOA. Well, San Francisco's defense is number 9 in that metric. San Francisco's offense is number 4. Obviously, you know, they're missing a key piece. But Cincy's defense is only number 15. Like they're backtreading at this point. I don't like the, like the Bengals show up in some spots. You remember how badly they beat the Steelers a couple of weeks ago. But last week, I mean, they got taken behind the woodshed by the Chargers. I think I tend to lean more that way. I know I just said all these different things. I think looking more at the numbers, I kind of feel strongly about San Francisco just being an overall better football team. Like, I think that they can force Cincinnati into some mistakes that can make Joe Burrow uncomfortable. In that situation, I'm going to take the 49ers. So you ride in that direction?
I'll take the Bengals. I'll go opposite. I'll take the Bengals. I'm going back and forth on it anyway. I don't think Debo's going to play, so I'll take that chance.
Okay, that makes sense. We will move on. Number 6 game here. We've got 8 of them. Number 6, we are rolling with the Bills at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Of course, the Bills coming off of a Monday Night Football loss. Went 1-4, or 1-4 in the red zone against the Patriots. The Bucs are a 3.5-point favorite at home, total of 52.5 here. And this is a monster game, brother. This is a monster game. The Bills, obviously, record is not as good as they would hope that it is, or hope that it would be. But overall, the Bills' total DVOA is number 3 in the National Football League, and the Bucs are number 1. These are two elite football teams. One just doesn't have the record that they hoped. Buffalo's offense is number 14 in efficiency. Their defense is number 1, though. Well, on the other side, Tampa Bay's offense is number 1 in efficiency, and their defense is number 8. I tend to believe that the Bills are going to find a way to keep this thing close. I'm going to take this hook here. I'm going to ride with the Bills plus 3.5 because I think that these teams are pretty equal. And if you're giving me more than a field goal, I will certainly take that in the spot.
Yeah, I need to know if the Bills are going to be able to win a shootout. I think they can, but I think they're going to have to.
I mean, if you get to a point where Josh Allen is just flinging the ball, I mean, yeah, Stephon Diggs will certainly appreciate that.
Well, it's not about will he appreciate it. It's can they do anything? I don't know. I guess they can because the secondary of the Bucks isn't so special. So, you know.
Yeah, that was my whole thought process behind that was, you know, Bucks secondary, like they can give up some big plays. Now they hadn't done a ton of them lately, but they hadn't exactly played a murderer's row. So
yeah, I was gonna say they haven't played anybody with the skill of Diggs and Allen.
Yeah,
and
Beasley and that bunch. So yeah.
No, I'm with you. I think that's the right play.
And so you're gonna ride it +3.5.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Let's do this thing. Now, I mean, obviously, it wouldn't shock me if the Bucks come out and just destroy these guys. Maybe the Patriots
destroying
took a little bit
them, of them. Yes, destroying them, it would shock me. But that's, beating them, that wouldn't shock me. And covering, you know, 3.5 wouldn't shock me. If they beat them by, you know, 14, that would shock me.
Okay. I see where you're coming from. Let's dive into these last two here. Sunday Night Football, the Chicago Bears heading to the Green Bay Packers. The Packers are a 13-point favorite, total of 43.5. And, man, what a low, low total for somebody to be favored by two touchdowns here. I will make this easy. Like, just the total itself, along with that spread, I'm going to take the Bears at +13 here. The Bears obviously have not looked great, right? There's nothing really good you can say about the Chicago Bears right now. But, you know, I think their defense can hang a little bit. I think that their offense can put up, you know, something on the Packers. And if you get into a low-scoring game like this, I believe that they can keep it within two touchdowns. So I will take the Bears here.
Yeah, I think I would take the Bears also. This is too many points. I don't like betting against Aaron Rodgers right now. And, you know, this is something that we don't talk enough about, because for some reason, all the years that Aaron Rodgers has played, the media has just protected him and not been critical at all of him ever. But, like, everybody crushed the Patriots all the time, and they crushed Tom Brady and Bill Belichick for the record. And they say, oh, look at that division. Look how terrible it is. But have we seen what Aaron Rodgers got to go up against for the last, you know, decade and a half of his career? Nobody has anything to say about that. Nobody wants to give them an asterisk next to their record every year.
I mean, you could say that about several teams, right? Like,
I don't know about several teams, but definitely the Packers, with the Vikings being, you know, it either rotates between the Vikings or the Bears. Being the okay team, but they always choke in a big spot, you know? Yeah. And then the Lions just being garbage no matter what happens to them.
Yeah, this season.
But he just somehow always gets a pass for that.
Yeah, the Packers are 9-3, and then the Vikings 5-7, the Bears 4-8, and then the Lions are now 1-10, of course, with that big win last week. I'm with you. I'm looking at the teams that they have beaten. They beat the Lions, they won at the 49ers, beat the Steelers, at the Bengals, at the Bears. They only beat the Bears by 10 the last time they played earlier in the season. They played Washington, at the Cardinals, they lost to the Chiefs, that was without Aaron Rodgers. They beat the Seahawks, lost to the Vikings, and beat the Rams. So,
not that they're not great, not that they're not unbelievable, not that they're not deserving of all the things that they get. I just find it strange that over the last, you know, 15 years, everybody's been super critical of the Patriots' run as, you know, being not what it appears. But nobody says anything about the Packers' run.
That's you're not wrong about that.
Which is both of them very impressive.
Yes, incredibly so. Maybe the Patriots a little more because there's actually hardware at the end for them, but but yes. I know I have to say that so that you don't have to. The Monday Night Football game, the Rams heading to the Arizona Cardinals, and the Cardinals are a 3-point favorite, total of 51.5 here, and these are two damn fine football teams. The Rams seemed to figure things out a little bit last week. They had kind of been going through it some. I believe teams had started to figure them out a bit. But this is the number 6 Rams total DVOA team against the number 5 Arizona Cardinals total DVOA. This Arizona offense is number 12 in efficiency, and their defense is number 3 in efficiency. And the Rams offense is number 5, and the defense for the Rams is number 6. So overall, I think you've got a little bit of a mismatch with this Cardinals offense against this Rams defense. I think the Rams defense is better. On the other side of the ball, I think it's pretty even. I think that the Rams are actually the better team, even though the record would not show it. So I will take the Rams here to cover this 3 points. I think they're going to win the game outright, because I just cannot buy that the Cardinals are the best team in football. That just does not make – it doesn't compute.
I have not believed it for a while. I watched this weekend, and I kind of said, all right, I'm done questioning the Cardinals. Like, at some point in time, when you're 12 games into a season, like, it can't all be a mirage, right? And then I looked at the schedule. I saw who they were playing, and I thought, yeah, I like the other team. I know that goes against everything that, you know, I've watched, I've seen, but I don't believe it. I just don't believe what my eyes are telling me.
Yeah, I mean, it's you watch this team, and they are really, really good. I mean, that pass from Murray to Hopkins last week against the Bears, which, yeah, they covered the 9, where we said that the Bears would cover the 9.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I also didn't know that Andy Dalton was going to be left out there to throw the ball to the other team, you know, 9 times.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. So I look at this, and I think that – I mean, obviously, they beat up on the Rams earlier in the season, 37-20. But that was when they were absolutely rolling, and the Rams, I think, were still kind of trying to figure this stuff out. I think the Rams know who they are at this point. I think the Rams are the better football team, at least more playoff built. So I'm going to take the Rams. So you're doing the same thing?
No, I'm doing the same thing, man. We're agreeing a whole bunch. That's okay, though.
It's not a ton. We got 3 games this time that are different, so not too shabby. I mean, Lord, we had 1 week a couple of weeks ago where I think we only disagreed on 1 pick. It's just absurd. So let's go ahead and dive into our super contest picks. You ready for that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, here is...
Hang on, let me get mine up. So you go ahead and start us off.
I will start us off, and I'm going to roll with a game that I was somewhat questioning before, but I'm fully in on now. I'm going to take the 49ers +1 at the Bengals. This is just a significantly more efficient football team with San Francisco than Cincinnati. I understand Cincy is volatile. I understand that they can have days where they absolutely hit on every big play and everything goes right, like we saw against the Steelers. And then they have days where everything can go wrong, like happened against the Chargers last week. I think the 49ers can do to them what the Chargers did. So give me the 49ers +1 here. I think they win the game outright.
Okay. All right. I am going to go with winning your first game of the year. Big, big deal. Can you beat week 12, get your first win, and have a winning streak? Give me the Lions +9 against the Broncos. Listen, this Broncos team looks awful.
Yeah, now, they did last week.
I don't think they lose to the Lions, but I ain't laying 9 points to Broncos with anybody.
Lions +9 at the Broncos. Okay, I can get with this. Oh,
listen,
I forgot.
I took the Texans last week, and that was real bad. So I'm not afraid of taking bad teams. That always works.
You got that right. I forgot to give the records. I went 4-1 against the number last week. That puts me at 38-27 against the
spread.
Good. It's not bad this year. I've kind of been rolling. Chris, last week you went 2-3. You are sitting at 29-29-2 so far. Now I do have an entire week of games that you were at the happiest place on earth. So I do have a few games up on you. But I will tell you this: I went 0-5 that week. So if I had not bet those games, I'd be sitting
at 38-22. You'd have a hell of a record.
Oh my God, it'd be ridiculous right now. I would have won 38 out of 50 games. That's just absurd. Or out of 60 games. So that's just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. All right. So you did Lions +9. I'm gonna roll Jags +10 at the Titans. The Titans don't really blow anybody out, and when they play against bad competition, sometimes they tend to play down
to them.
Yeah, they play down to the level of competition. That's just what this team is. So I fully expect that the Jags, especially for a divisional game, Jags are going to be able to keep this within single digits. So give me the Jaguars here.
I'm going to go the New York Football Giants plus 10.5. I'm taking a lot of dogs, taking some big dogs against this Chargers team. Now, I think the Chargers are a really good football team, all right? But the Chargers don't beat anybody badly either. This is a drunk-ass team, and the Giants could win this game because the Chargers are just weird. So I will take all 10.5 points.
I am going to go the opposite of you on this.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah, I've actually got it written down. Chargers minus 10.5. You know I don't like laying big favorites. But in this situation, the Giants' offense is so putrid. They are so terrible. Now, the defense can absolutely keep Justin Herbert at bay, right? But a big problem for the Giants is they give up some explosive plays, and Herbert has shown that he can hit those, you know, pretty majorly. I think that the Chargers are going to whip the Giants over on the West Coast. So I'm taking the Chargers minus 10.
This team is just, they play such weird games all the time. Okay.
Yeah, they do. They do. I don't feel great about it, but it is one of my top five picks. So let's see. So that was my third pick. What's your third pick?
I think I'm going to take the football team plus 4 against Dallas. This Dallas team has looked really weird the last, I don't know, 5 weeks of the season. They start the season off amazing. And then they've looked weird. They're getting a lot of guys back healthy, but the football team's looked really good lately. I don't need them to win. I just need them to cover more than a field goal. I'll take the football team.
Okay, I'm going opposite of you again on this. My line on this was actually Dallas minus 6.5. And the fact that it opened up 4, that was an automatic play for me, so I've already bet this one. I think that the Cowboys, they don't play well when Amari Cooper is out. When he plays, they are a significantly better football team. He's supposed to be playing this week. So I think that it's not just him, obviously, but I think the Cowboys are just better than Washington. And I think that they've covered against Washington like a ton. Like, just, I don't have the numbers pulled up in front of me, but that's part of the reason why I took the Cowboys here at minus 4, because I think this should be closer to a touchdown. And I know that the football team has been playing significantly better, and I'm kind of with you, like, you know as well as anybody that I'm not a Cowboys fan, and that I do like Washington because of all the Alabama ties, right? but when I see this number, I'm looking at it as, man, I think the Cowboys are the right way to go here. Let's see. Pulling it up right now. Dallas 5-1 against the spread, last 6 on the road. Let's see. Nah, it doesn't say anything about the actual matchup between the two. But regardless, that's the reason why I went that way. But I could totally understand you going the way that you did there. So I'm not downplaying it or anything like that. Let's see. I've actually got it pulled up now. As far as the last, 10 times that they have played, and the Cowboys, I know that you don't like the history stuff. And I put postseason and not regular season, like an idiot. There we go. All right. We have got Dallas has covered, let's see. Oh, I am so wrong. Washington covered the last 2. They covered both of them against Dallas last year. They hadn't played this year. So before that, though, Washington had not covered in 8 games against them. So that's what it was. I was thinking back to last season. So you might be onto something here. You might be onto something. All right, so you're riding with the football team plus 4. I'm riding Cowboys minus 4. What is your fourth pick?
We're getting into the games where I don't really like, but we don't have enough games for me to pick that I love.
Just don't take.
I'm gonna go to Cleveland.
Okay, thank God.
I got the no. I'm not betting one nickel on the Falcons the rest of the year. I made that decision a couple weeks ago, and I didn't even lose on them. I just saw them there bad.
Oh yeah.
No, I'm gonna go with my Brownies. They got the week off. Baker's got to be a week better, healthy wise. But what I really like is the Ravens. Humphreys being out. If Humphreys misses this game, that secondary is already not good. Surely Baker and the Browns can get something going offensively after you know, getting to play a beat up Ravens team coming off of a brutal battle against the Steelers.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. I can see that. So Browns minus 2.5. I disagreed earlier in the previews, but I'm staying away from it. So I understand where you're coming from with it. I see where you're going with it. My fifth and final one, I am taking the Panthers to cover 3 against the Falcons. This Falcons team is bad, bad, bad. I have no idea how they have as many wins as they do on the season, because as far as efficiency goes, this team is dead last in the NFL. They're number 32 in total DVOA. Now, Carolina ain't much better. They're number 27. But at least Carolina is good on one side of the ball, right? At least Carolina has a good defense. This Falcons offense is number 31. They are putrid on offense. The Falcons defense is number 29. And the Carolina offense is number 29. Like, I see at least one part of the Panthers is a good side of the ball. And with the Falcons, there is no good side of the ball. Like, the Falcons are also dead last in special teams efficiency. There is no advantage anywhere on the field for the Falcons. I'm going to take the Panthers to cover the 3.
My last one's going to be the same bet I've been making all year. Give me the Raiders plus 10 against the Chiefs. The Chiefs have covered last couple, but, it's just been a good bet. These guys, the numbers overinflated all the time on them. It's just that much harder for them to cover, and I'm just going to keep betting against them.
And there were a lot of ways that they would not have covered against the Broncos last week, and they found a way to do it. But I mean, they only put up 22 points last week. I mean, it's not like they were crazy. So yeah, I'm with you. I can understand that. So I'm staying out of the way of that terrain for at least a little bit. But I do like where your mind is at on that one. So, all right, so let's do a little bit of a recap here. I've got 49ers plus 1, Jags plus 10, Panthers minus 3, Cowboys minus 4, and Chargers minus 10.5. Chris is going to take the Lions plus 9, Giants plus 10.5, Washington football team plus 4. He's taking the Brownies minus 2.5, and he's taking the Raiders plus 10. I like it. I like it. Chris, is there anything else you want to hit on?
No, that's it, brother.
Dig that. All right, let's go ahead and close it. I'll let you go, and then I'll close it out. How's that?
All right, see you, man.
All right, I'll talk to you later, buddy. All right, so that was Chris. He hopped in. We got it knocked out. Thank goodness. You know that I hate doing this show by myself, but he did hop in, and we got it taken care of. So let's go ahead and close it out. I appreciate all of you for being here. You are all fantastic. If you have not already, like the video for us. Share it out. If you haven't subscribed on the podcast, please do so. If you haven't subscribed on the YouTube, please do so. Knock all that stuff out. We would certainly appreciate it. The show is brought to you by BetUS, where the game begins. It's America's premier online sportsbook. Go ahead and check it out. We've got a link in the description for that. I host the BetUS College Football Show. Chris is on the Bookmaker Review College Football Show. Link is in the description for both of those as well. With that said, we are going to get out of here. You guys have been awesome. We appreciate you taking time to listen to the mess that we talk on here 3 times a week. We certainly appreciate it. With that said, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And hopefully, all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save